Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? With Adis here. Assalamu alaikum, Adis. How you
I'm
doing?
Fine. I'm fine. How are you, bro?
Television, TV 5.
Yes, Television 5. Yes. Welcome here from Bosnia, Sarajevo. You are welcome. Ed is our guest. He is welcome here in Bosnia. He's very popular here in Bosnia. There is a lot of young, especially young people who follows his show here in Bosnia. So as he explained me now, he met some of them in our streets in Sarajevo, and he's very popular here, alhamdulillah. And we will help him, inshallah, to record some new shows here in Bosnia with new stories, very interesting stories about people from Bosnia. And inshallah, Eddie will show some interesting stories here, inshallah.
We got a lot coming, guys. Stay tuned with Channel 5. Adis here helping us out. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? Bringing you some wonderful stories here in Bosnia, Sarajevo. And I met another fascinating brother. Almir, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
So you were from the States, huh?
I'm from Canada. I mean, Bosnian.
Yeah.
Born in Bosnia, migrated to Canada in 1996.
Yeah.
As a refugee. And.
But now you're in Dubai.
Yeah, I live there right now, yes.
Yeah. How do you, from the outside looking, you were in the inside, outside, you know, there's a lot of Islamophobia, right? And there's so many negative things that people are trying to correlate with Islam. Like when you meet someone in Dubai, an American and whatnot, they get to actually intermingle with a lot of Muslims. How is the atmosphere there? How much traffic do you get from Americans coming over to Dubai? And that's one of the most developed countries in the world, isn't it? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Dubai is a multicultural place. It's a city within United Arab Emirates. It has over 200 nationalities, so it's a very multicultural place, has a lot of different people. And subhanAllah, because you know it's a Muslim country, so people get to interact with Muslims a lot, and all those things that people think about Muslims, they kind of get broken down because they see Muslims there in action, you know. They hear the adhan, they go to the mosque, and Ramadan is observed there, you know, publicly. You cannot eat in public and stuff like that, so people respect that a lot. And plus, you know, because it's a thorough place, I mean, it's a throughway in a way. So a lot of people stop over, even though they don't maybe visit for like a week or something, but they stop for a day or two. Millions of people visit Dubai. It's the busiest airport in the world, by the way.
Yeah, but people who haven't traveled, they're stuck in their like, you know, little town and somewhere in, you know, the hills or whatever in the south, and they got these misconceptions that, you know, Muslims are terrorists, and you know, not every terrorist is a Muslim, but every Muslim's a terrorist. Mm. You know, what do you say to such cliches?
Well, you have to meet Muslims. You have to talk to them. You have to interact with them, and you get to see the real picture. I mean, I meet so many Americans from North Carolina, from Tennessee, from many places, and you know, their picture changed totally because they interact with Muslims from all over the place. Like I said, Dubai has Arab Muslims, has you know, South Asian Muslims, has, you know, from all the Russian republics, the Muslims there too, Bosnians, you know, although not many of us, and African Muslims. It's amazing when you go to the mosque. I mean, in America, same thing. When you go to the masjid and you see so many different people, and Dubai is like that, just on a larger scale.
Yeah, and what's interesting is some of these places that people try to point to that are underdeveloped, that are kind of backwards, where people will say these are most places, let's say Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, that just been blown back into the Stone Age, you know what I
yes.
mean, by foreign occupation, you know. But if you look at like Dubai, it wasn't under that, so Muslims were actually able to develop. You see the correlation?
Oh yeah. Dubai is one of the most advanced places in the world, and it has some of the largest number of skyscrapers in the world.
Isn't the tallest building out there?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
it is. And you know, they're building another tall one, and it has I think over 300 towers that are over 100 meters tall. So it's mm-hmm. the largest number of skyscrapers in the world as well. And it's a fast expanding city. And you know, they always show this picture of Dubai in 1990s comparing to 2012, and it's like there was a desert in 1994, And after that, it's like a boom. It's like basically Manhattan in a way, mm-hmm. you know.
What happened in your life that had you to really start to reflect and think about purpose, you know, and seeking purpose and now living purpose?
What happened was, the war happened. We were refugees in Slovenia for 4 years. And subhanAllah, that's when you start kind of looking at things. You know what? I have to live for today. I have to live for today. And I have to live. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, literally. Like, nowadays we live and we plan things ahead for a year, 2 years, 10 years down the road. When you're a refugee, you think about, am I going to be alive tomorrow? Do I have food for tomorrow? Do I have shelter for tomorrow? So those kind of things put in your mind and you say, what's my purpose here then? So then you go back to Allah and you get reminded, look, there's a trial for you. And subhanAllah, I mean, it was a blessing in a way. And we got guided back to Allah, to Islam.
What was it about Islam that stood out? Because there's so many religions and people are like, oh, they try to put it all in the same bunch. Oh, Islam is just one of those, you know, another one of those religions, man-made. What do you say to that argument?
I think it's the direct relationship to Allah, to God, that there is nobody to worship or nobody to ask or nobody you have to go through to have a communication with God. And this is the most important thing in Islam, is that direct relationship that you have with God, personal relationship that you can go alone at the depth of the night and asking him and have a direct relationship with him. And no other religion provides that. And of course, also in Islam, there is only Allah. There is none worthy of worship to be worshipped except him. And therefore, it all makes sense. I mean, you know, you see in a human scale that if you have two people, partners in something, there's always disagreement or something like that. Imagine there's two gods or three gods, God forbid. It would be a disaster. And those kind of things was put in my mind, and you start thinking about it. And then reading Quran, and then pondering upon the Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Allah Almighty revealed in the Quran, it all that kind of, it's like a puzzle that just came together.
Mm-hmm. If Tyrese, he visits Dubai a lot, if our Christian brethren, Jewish, whoever, just, I mean, the not yet Muslims, I call them, if they're visiting, you know, because that is a pit stop, you know, where people visiting to Dubai is just huge, and they want to learn more about what we're talking about, can they hook up with you in Dubai?
Yeah, for sure. You can hook up with me, or you can hook up with the Islamic Information Center in Dubai. There's Darul Bir Society. There's so many places. There's so much information you can get in anywhere in UAE, and it's a very good place. And subhanAllah, just one more statistic for you: every year, tens of thousands of people become Muslim in Dubai.
What does a Muslim mean? What does that mean when you say Muslim?
Muslim means the one who submits to God.
The one
who submits to God, to His will.
Yeah. That's it, man. It's simple. Jesus was a Muslim. Moses was a Muslim. We're ones who submit to the will of God the same way they did. And last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them all. And we started with peace. We went with peace. May you have a blessed trip. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very wonderful. You know, I'm
nice
telling
you,
here in Sarajevo, running into some wonderful people. And we have a mutual friend. I want to send
Gabriel Romani.
Gabriel, salam alaikum, brother. All right, thank you.
All right, brother. Jazakallah.
Oh, yeah. Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? Man, I told you I'm here in Bosnia, meeting some incredible people, trying to bring you some incredible stories. This is Nedim. How you doing, Nedim?
I'm fine, thank you.
Continue on.
Basically, I was born in a small town, Bosanska Dubica, and I was raised there. I lived there all my life, and during the war, Bosnia is divided in two parts, and this part where I lived is under Serb occupation, Serb territory. And basically all the mosques and all the religious buildings and all, there was no religious life there. And all the Bosniaks left. And I stayed there with my mother and my aunt and my grandmother. And we stayed there all my life. We stayed there during that tough period. And I grew up in a severe poverty. Basically, I didn't have one KM. Basically, it's half euro to have a drink. And after the war ended, I was living in the same conditions. Basically, it was a small house. No electricity, no water, no toilet. It's very hard conditions. And when I was eighth grade of elementary school, I began to feel ill. And this illness, it lasted for 10 years, almost killed me. But that illness was my biggest blessing, because of that illness, and there was no cure, I began to think about the world, to think about my life, to think about Allah. And that illness brought me back to mosque, that illness brought me back to Deen. And when I was 21 years old, 2004, that was the first time I went into a mosque. That was in my hometown, Bosanska Dubica, because the mosque was rebuilt in 2003. It was the first time Ezan was here in my town after 11 years. And after that, 2005, I enrolled in the Faculty of Islamic Pedagogy. 2007, my illness returned. I felt worse and worse. I started bleeding, fevers. Basically nothing could stop the effects of the illness. And so I became more ill. That Ramadan, I fasted the first day and then I fell ill. Then I fell into my bed. I couldn't move. My muscles, they retracted. I basically had 40 kilos. My stomach exploded in five areas. And I was put into a clinical center, but they couldn't help me. I was basically in December of that year, 2007, I was left to die. And thanks to good people from my hometown, basically the imam, the head imam of Medžlis Bosanska Dubica, and I was sent to Sarajevo, to clinical center. I was operated, and I had operation 3rd January of 2008. After that, 2 months, I had rehabilitation, learned how to walk, wear diapers, learned how to eat. I was like a baby. That year, in October, I enrolled in third year of Islamic faculty. I finished in 2010. I became a Hafiz. I memorized the whole Quran.
You memorized the whole Quran? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
So do you understand that? That's one of the miracles of the Quran. Like no other book in the world, memorized by millions and millions of people. Now look at his situation. Look, I mean, his health is deteriorated. He's coming back, and you memorized the whole book of Allah.
Because we have a unique tradition in Bosnia. When you memorize the Quran, you have to recite it completely in no more than 15 days. And it took me a while to complete that. I completed it last year. I recited it from 18th of May to 1st of June, complete Quran in front of the commission. And that was the happiest moment of my life. Basically, the most important person in my life is my mother. And when I remember what we have gone through that illness, through that rehabilitation, and now the day that we went to Bosanska Dubica, that was the final recitation, final, how do you call it? When I received diploma for Hafiz, for memorization of Quran, I received it in my hometown, in the same mosque, Gradska Jamia, Gradska Mosque in Dubica, where I first entered the mosque in 21 years, when I prayed first Tarawih, first Sabah, when I started to learn Hafiz. That's the place where I prayed my first Juma, that place where I went first time on Sajda. And that was the religion, the deen, has changed my life for the better. And really I had found it to be a very person who has deen, a person who believes, who has Allah. I believe that nothing can stop him in this world. Basically, your body may become weak, may have problems, you may have illnesses, you may have tribulations. But then you have Allah. If you believe in Allah, that not just believe in Allah, but believe Allah, believe that everything will be okay. That after this tribulation is for your good, you will be stronger, you will be better. And that's what I said. My illness was basically my biggest blessing in my life. Something that almost killed me has made me where I am today. And I was thinking about that. What would happen in my life if I didn't have illness? Would I ever come to mosque? Would I ever learn Quran? Would I ever read Quran? Would I ever meet these wonderful people? Would I be speaking today with you? Allah works. He works for us. Everything that He gives us is basically for us, for our good. Maybe we don't see it right now, but it's for our good. but believe me, it is. And we can see it. We see it after some time, when we see the big picture. So trust Allah, believe in Allah, remember Allah, and your body and your psychology, your depression, your anxiety, your tribulations, they are basically no problem when you have Allah.
That is amazing, amazing. Just a teaser, inshallah, we'll be bringing you more. Subscribe right now so you don't miss the programs that we're going to be putting out here in Bosnia. People.